Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Max Pennell, John Dunn joining us here momentarily, hopefully. Oh, man. Tell you what. I take a week off. And Skype doesn't work on the computer. Can't get the phone lines to really work. And then all of a sudden, I tune in on Monday, and people are saying that my old guys got fired. Let me tell you, Bryson, Davis, Matthew, none of those guys got fired. None of them got fired. They all left on their own accord. Nobody forced them out. They just left to go on to bigger and better things. That's all that happened. That's all that happened, regardless of what was said on whatever show that was. I don't even pay attention to them anymore. Oh, man, it's been a wild week in sports. The Miami Heat close out the Boston Celtics after a crazy ending in Game 6 and then follow it up with a dominating performance in Game 7. Game 1 of the NBA Finals starts on Thursday night at the Coke 600 this weekend. Chase Elliott absolutely destroyed Denny Hamlin's car, in which Chase Elliott has earned himself a suspension. Corey LaJoy will be taking over in the 9 car this upcoming weekend. We want to hear from you. How's your weekend? 865-546. Before we do, Max, I have not let you talk yet. How's it going, Max?
It's going great. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. Glad you're here. Glad that I don't have to scramble and try to find stuff last minute and just sit back there, talk to myself for 2 hours. That's a miserable time. I don't ever want to do that again. But let's go right to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Larry in Georgia is up first. What do you say, Larry?
Fellas!
Larry!
Well, I'm disappointed. I'm glad I'm starting off the show.
Yeah.
I was hoping that John would be in here to be able to welcome him properly. But, you know, hey, we'll get to that another day when I get a chance to call in.
Absolutely. I hate technology.
Yeah, I know. It sucks sometimes, and it does for my work sometimes, too. So I totally get it. I will say, I mean, I've interacted with him on socials as well, so, you know, it's all good. He and I go back a little ways, too. So
nice.
Missed you last week, brother. You know, I was finally back. Man, I caught my youngest decided to give me 2 different versions of the plague within a week, and I was ready to kill him.
Oh, goodness, which ones?
Not the child that goes up there.
Okay.
The one that actually lives with me, but I ended up with strep on a Monday night into Tuesday. Finally was getting over that. The oldest was actually down visiting. He gets a stomach bug on Thursday from the youngest. And promptly gave it to me on Sunday. So then the next several days I was down with that. So, and man, let me tell you what, I mean, both of those things, they kick the crap out of me.
Oh, and they always will. There is no getting over that in an easy fashion. It's going to kick your ass, and it's going to continue to kick your ass until it is out of your system.
I have had COVID twice. Nothing compared to what these two did. Nothing compared to what these two things did. I mean, they just absolutely thrilled me. So it was when I was finally back to the land of the living, it was nice, you know. But good Lord, man, that was brutal. So the Chase Elliott thing.
Yeah.
You know, I am a Chase Elliott fan. I will not stand there and say he did not do it on purpose. For me, it was in the moment. It was kind of hard to tell. Some of the things almost looked like part of it was incidental just because of the way the 6 got into the back of him.
Right.
However, for Denny Hamlin to stand there and act all high and frickin' mighty afterwards and say, oh, he was just throwing a tantrum. Denny, sit down and shut up. You do the same crap, you old fart.
Denny Hamlin is one to talk.
He's done the same crap for years. Yeah, he's got no room to talk. He has punted I don't know how many people, including Chase. Last year, the two of them went back and forth for 3 or 4 different races punting each other.
Oh, it cost him a championship.
And you know what? Yeah. It just, like I said, he needs to sit down and shut up and just take a pill because, you know, he finally got what he deserved. Again, those speeds, where he did it and everything else, probably not the smartest thing to do and certainly not the safest thing to do. But guess what, Denny? You deserved it. So shut up. Anyway.
Well, and two, Larry, you got to think about this. Like, when is Denny Hamlin ever going to get out of his own way? This has been his problem ever since he has entered the NASCAR circuit. He cannot get out of his own way. He never has been able to do that. And honestly, I don't think he ever will do that. It's amplified it even more now that he's an owner in the sport. And then he calls out his own driver in Bubba Wallace.
And you know who's going to be the same? I was going to say, well, Bubba's taking after him because he does some of the same crap. But you know who else is he's not all that young, but another one that's young as far as in the sport goes, that's doing the same crap and is going to end up with the same exact thing, and that's Ross Chastain. That man is dangerous. Like, he drives, bro, I'm all about bumping people and getting them to move out of the way, but when you're 8 laps into a race and you're wrecking people on purpose, that's just stupidity right there. I mean, that's just a flat-out stupidity, and there's no need for it. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. Like I said, I am a Chase fan, and I fully acknowledge that to begin with. But I also will not say that he did not dump him intentionally. I am sure that it was at least partially intentional, if not full on. He just hooked a left. I don't know, but it was still good to see it. Yeah. Denny has had that coming for a long time.
I don't think there was anybody that was terribly upset about it. Now, of course, I'll say this: I'm excited to see what Corey LaJoie does in the 9 car. I love that guy.
Yeah, I like Corey. Corey's a good dude. Not just he's a decent driver, but he's a good dude.
Yeah.
I follow him on socials as well. He does a lot for charity and for kids, and he's just a good all around dude. So I'm happy to see him jump up.
Absolutely.
Basketball, who cares? My son's just barfed and crapped the bed, and so, you know, they're out. Who cares at this point? I honestly don't care who wins between these two.
Come on, you got to go for Jimmy in this. Jimmy's actually worked hard. He's not pulled the LeBron James method of, I'm going to just go build a super team or find a super team and just do it.
That's true. No, he has definitely put in the time and the work, that's for sure. Being is this his second or third team?
Jimmy Butler?
Yeah.
Chicago, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Miami. So his fourth.
So fourth. Okay. I forgot the Philly one. So yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't know. Yeah, it'd be cool to see an eight seed jump up and win. And good for him. I don't really have much of a problem with Denver. You know, the Jokic thing with our owner, they put that aside the next night and hugged it out and whatever, so made kind of a joke out of it. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But I'm so ready for football season. I don't know about anybody else, but man.
I mean, we're scrambling about stuff to talk about. You know, I'm not a big NBA during the regular season guy. I like NASCAR. I'm probably killing my entire audience with the 9 minutes that we have been on air just by talking about it. But, you know, this is what it is. This is the summer. You know, Tennessee, obviously, we're going down to Clemson, I think it is, to play in the regional with who all we got? We got them. There's I don't even know, to be honest with you.
I can't remember who they are now.
I have detoxed myself from the world for the past 12 days.
Nice.
Yeah.
I will be doing that from July 1st through July 9th. We will be in a cabin in the mountains there in Pigeon Forge for mine and my wife's anniversary and hanging out in that area. So I can't get here soon enough. I'm super excited to be up there. Anytime I get up the mountain anyway, or up the hill anyway, and get away from this godforsaken cesspool down here, and the barking idiots that come with it.
Oh, but, God, and they stink.
Yeah. Excited to watch the Lady Vols this weekend. I think they're going to do well in the softball World Series too.
I am excited about that.
It may very well come down to them in Oklahoma. At least I hope it does. That would be those two teams, man. I'll tell you what, they are both really, really good, and you can't ever count them out. It's crazy. So anyway, I'm ready for football. Let's get this going. We've already got some of our tickets. We're going to work on getting some of the other ones. Some of them, we may not be able to get to the Georgia game unless you can. If you can find somebody to gift me a few tickets to the Georgia game, brother, I'll take them. But I ain't paying $300 to sit in the upper deck, and
nope.
That's what they're sitting at right now, so there ain't no way.
Absolutely not. Larry, we appreciate the phone call, brother. We're going to take a quick time out. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way.
Whether your hobby is something as simple as gardening or walking, or if you enjoy more physical activities like running, golf, or tennis, you know joint injuries, arthritis, back pain, and other orthopedic conditions can prevent you from living your best life. Linderman Sports Medicine in Memphis offers expert orthopedic treatment to get you back to your favorite activities without having to undergo painful and risky surgery. Dr. Laura Linderman is a former UT Martin athlete who graduated from UT Medical School. She's a true VFL, and she wants to help you get back to the active life without going under the knife. Find out why people come from all over the volunteer state and beyond to get back to doing the physical activities they love with Linderman Sports Medicine. Visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com today.
Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. I think we finally got the audio issues figured out. Shout out to Skype for not working, as per usual. Let's go ahead and get him in here. The new co-host of Overtime here on Fan Run Radio, my good friend, one of my best friends, actually, John Dunn. John, what's up, buddy?
Much of nothing, Jake. How you doing today, brother?
Living the dream, man. Yeah, excited to have you in here. Got you, got Max. Might be adding a fourth.
Absolutely. Yeah, man, listen, all these names floating around, they got me excited. It's nice to meet Max. It's an exciting time, man, to finally be joining you full-time as a co-host, man. I feel like it's been a long time coming, and I feel like we're about to do some fun stuff, man.
I do as well. And, you know, this all started, it's funny enough, we're closing in. I think we're right around the day where I took over this show about a year ago.
That's wild. It's crazy to believe it's been that long already, that quick.
Yeah, and I think – I don't even remember how we got connected as far as the radio front. I think I just shot you a DM and it's like, hey, I'm looking for full-time guest. Are you down? And I think the response was, bleep, yeah. And
yeah,
now it's become what it is.
Happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think you ended up stumbling onto something for the show. We have a mutual – I think it was CG, might have been our mutual –
Yes.
Our mutual friend. And, man, I think you stumbled upon my stuff. And, I mean, we had a little light interaction here and there, man. Now here we are, you know, like a couple years later, you're going to be a groomsman at my wedding, you know. So, I mean, it's crazy to think that we're here now.
I would say the same about you, but I'm not doing a wedding. I'm just going to elope, and I'm going to the beach, man. I ain't even going to fake it.
Got to save some money, man. So you're already making great husband decisions, saving money. You're already a step ahead.
Oh, man. Guess we should go ahead and get right back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. TJ, the Kentucky fan, is next. What do you say, Teej?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Hey, good, buddy.
You know, NASCAR.
Yep.
I'm not as big on it as I once was, but Memorial Day weekend, as you know, being a veteran, as you are, and active duty myself, we've got, you know, a couple years ago, one of my buddies actually was on one of those cars. He unfortunately passed away in Afghanistan for a Sibley, but that is one race that I will sit down for and watch the pre-race, all of the ceremonies, every commercial, every lap. But I will say this. I forgot who it was that pushed. What's his name? Sponsored by Michael Jordan.
You're talking about Tyler Reddick.
No.
Bubba Wallace.
Bubba Wallace.
Yes.
Whoever pushed him, I will say this. Dale Earnhardt, Richard Petty, or any one of those old guys would have absolutely clocked him instead of pushing him like a little sissy boy.
Eric Almirola, older than dirt.
I don't know what he did. I don't know why they were arguing, but where's my NASCAR gone?
I'm telling you, man, if you look at any of those NASCAR drivers in the interviews, they look like, they are, 19-year-old high school little kid. Where's the mustaches? Where's the beard? Where's the Marlboros? Where's, you know.
Hey, they smoked Winstons back in the day, man. I don't know about any Marlboros. They smoked Winstons.
Yeah, give me that. Give me some Pall Malls while you're doing an interview. Talk about your McDonald's, Tampax, Fit Go Ford, and chugging a freaking Miller Lite. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, don't forget Boudreaux's Butt Paste. That was a great sponsor back in the day as well.
Yeah. Where my NASCAR going? No, I'm just kidding. You know, it is summer, and sometimes it's a little slow, but we got college baseball coming up with the regionals, Kentucky hosting. I'm actually shocked we're hosting. We kind of fumed out there at the end of the year. But, you know, Tennessee, I think, gets a pretty good draw. It could have been a lot worse. I mean, Clemson is okay. I mean, they're good in baseball. But then you've got Lipscomb and Charlotte.
Yes.
I mean, if you guys can win, I think, what is it, 4 or 5 games, you're there. Y'all are in the Supers, man.
It's very well, that very well could happen. Now, that's the thing with this group that it scares me. You know, we're not hosting a regional. So, this team going on the road, I'm not 100% confident in it. I don't think that there's anybody out there that is, because we've seen the track record of this Tennessee baseball team on the road, and it's not good. And everybody can attest to that. So, I'm just going to be watching to see what happens at this point. I don't know how it's going to play out in our favor, if it does play out in our favor or not. TJ, I do want to ask you, and I wouldn't put it past us to do this as well, but with the lodging situation at the Lexington Regional, buddy, that was not taken into account at all, and it's because Kentucky's not a baseball school. I mean, people want to rag on Kentucky for doing this. Guys, a few years ago, Tennessee could have very well done the same damn thing. We were not a baseball school. Kentucky is not a baseball school. We could have very well did the same damn thing.
And here's the thing. Everybody's talking like, oh, what was Kentucky thinking? Well, we weren't thinking about regionals, because here's the thing. Our entire lineup, except for one guy, is transfers. Last year, we came inches away from firing our head coach. Besides winning 2 of 3 against Tennessee, we didn't do – I'm pretty sure we had a losing record last year. I mean, we got hot. I think we won a few games in the
SEC. Well, you all had a losing record when you beat us.
Yeah. So, you know, people are thinking are saying, oh, what was Kentucky thinking? We weren't. I mean, we had 12 transfers come in, I think four or five pitchers, 8 defensive players that transferred in. We had a whole new roster. I mean, we haven't, you know, everybody on our team is basically junior or senior transfers. We maybe have 3 freshmen that actually get any kind of playing time between pinch hitting and pitching. So, no, it could have easily happened to anybody, but we weren't expecting to be this good this year. I for sure wasn't.
Hence why visiting teams are having to stay in the dorms instead of getting hotels outside of the area, because what all else is going on? You've got a Tyler Childers concert. Yeah. What else you got going on?
You've got the Tyler Childers, Zach Brown concert. You've got – or Chris Stapleton, I don't know, one of those. You've got the high school baseball and softball state championships.
Oh, boy.
You've got the – out of something to do with cheerleading down there with the high school or whatever. But you know, here's the thing. Everybody's saying they're dorms and dorms and dorms. This is the fake news part of it. Those dorms were redone last year. They're technically, they're nicer than hotels. They're suites. They have their own rooms, their own bathrooms, their own kitchens. Like, it's not a dorm room. It's literally a suite that's better than most of your Holiday Inns. So West Virginia and Indiana, y'all crying about it? Would y'all rather be in a suite or back in the forest like y'all do where y'all come from?
So what you're saying is that it's more like the Air Force dorms instead of the Army dorms, correct?
100%.
I got you. I figured.
And here's another thing.
Indiana, West Virginia, y'all crying about it. Next year, win more. See ya.
Appreciate the phone call, TJ. So, yeah, Max, I don't know if you saw that, but the Kentucky Regional, the Lexington Regional, whatever you want to call it, teams are having to stay in dorms. Now, whether, you know, these are nice dorms, whether or not these are, you know, the old run-of-the-mill dorms that you would see at, like, Tennessee Tech and MTSU and ETSU. I mean, we've all been there. We've seen what crappy dorms are. I know you played sports growing up. I played sports growing up. When you go on these trips, you have to travel, and you have to stay in some of these crappy dorms. It's not a fun experience, whether it's nice or not. Like, any time that you don't get your own room on a trip, or at least be bunked with somebody that you really, really like, it's not a fun trip. It's not a fun trip at all. So, it's going to be very interesting to see what Tennessee does as they travel down South Carolina. The one thing about South Carolina, I'll say about this trip, is they get to eat some of the fine cuisine down in that part of the country. They get to go to a Fats. We don't have a Fats here in Knoxville. Speaking of food, Max, you want to take a guess at how many pizzas I consumed over my vacation?
What kind of pizza?
Well, nothing cheap, so nothing thin.
Cheese pizza, though?
Pepperoni. Sometimes throwing some onions.
How many days?
11 or 12.
I'm going to say 14.
I've had over 25 pizzas in the past 12 days.
Should have taken the over.
Yeah. So I doubled my pizza intake per day that I have been alive, essentially.
I mean, if you're going to double it with anything, pizza's probably the way to go.
I mean, I tried to explain this to Bear. So you get your meat, your vegetables, because that's in the sauce, the dairy, and your bread, all in one.
Yeah, I mean, what other food groups are we missing there?
I mean, your grain.
Proteins? I guess you're getting proteins.
Through the meat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grain? Yeah, I guess grains, but you can always throw on, like...
Jalapenos.
Yeah, exactly.
Jalapenos, onions.
Check them all off.
Absolutely. Mushrooms. I love mushrooms on a pizza.
I love mushrooms as well. Mushroom and onion.
Bacon. Some ham. Everything is... There's so much you can do with a pizza. And that is not why I sound like crap right now. I sound like crap right now because my allergies are acting up. But it's neither here nor there. Stay with us. We're going to try to get reconnected here with John Dunn as we return. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way.
Need storage space? Do you need someone to safely deliver your product to you or your customers? With almost 40 years in the industry, East 10 Warehouse and Distribution is the preferred source for third-party logistics. Our solutions include warehousing, inventory management, order fulfillment, pick-and-pack services, and cross-dock services. Contact East 10 Warehouse and Distribution at 865-521-6143 or visit them online at east10warehouse.com.
Linderman Sports Medicine of Memphis is the South's leader in orthopedic regenerative medicine. If you have joint pain or osteoarthritis, Linderman Sports Medicine can treat you without painful or risky surgery. That's right, no going under the knife. Find out why people come from all over Tennessee and beyond to Linderman Sports Medicine in Memphis. Visit their website to schedule a consultation today. LindermanSportsMedicine.com.
This month at National Law Rex, all Enandra Professional CBD products are 25% off. That's right, 25% off all Enandra Professional CBD products throughout the month of March. If you've ever wanted to give CBD a try, now is the perfect time. Visit National Law Rex at 11134 Kingston Pike. And if you're not in Knoxville, just call them at 865-392-1770 and tell them you want it shipped directly to your door. Check it out online at nationalrx.com.
You know Jet's Pizza delivers.
Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, John Dunn, Max Pennell. Am I saying that right?
You are.
Nice. Okay.
Don't a lot of people get it wrong, so I'm impressed.
What do people say? Pennell?
Pennell. Yeah.
I get that. Oh, man. So, John, what did you make of the Coke 600? You know, that's it's almost a staple of Memorial Day weekend in this country. You get the Coke 600 on Memorial Day weekend. It just so happened that we get the rain delay that actually pushes it to Memorial Day. And you see all of the fallen soldiers' names on the hoods of the cars. And it's a tribute that NASCAR does every year. I'm a big fan of it. And yeah, always man. Will be a big fan of it.
Yeah, you and me both, brother. You know I'm a big fan of that stuff. And it'll really hit home with you, man. Whether you're, and I feel like everybody, you know, in the United States specifically, has been touched by someone in the military, whether it's, you know, a family member, a friend, you know, a friend of a friend, what have you. Odds are you know somebody that served, you know, maybe yourself even. So, you know, Memorial Day, obviously one of those holidays that we hold near and dear. A lot of people, this is the one thing about Memorial Day that gets me, people run around saying, Happy Memorial Day. I feel like that one's kind of a little bit of an oxymoron. I get it, you know, I don't think anybody means anything disrespectful by it. But, you know, Happy Memorial Day's always got me a little bit. It's just a day that we remember those who, you know, gave the ultimate sacrifice and service to this great nation, so... But as far as the NASCAR goes, man, I think that they're spot on when they do stuff like that. They are always great about honoring America and holding true to, you know, pretty traditional values for the most part. So I feel like NASCAR is always going to be that way.
Absolutely. Jumping over to basketball, Jimmy Butler, again, does what he does. Miami is going to the NBA Finals as an 8 seed. They're going up against the Denver Nuggets. We already know what Jokic is going to do. He's going to dominate. We don't know which Jamal Murray we're going to get, which Michael Porter Jr. we're going to get. Aaron Gordon, he's not going to be the superstar. I mean, there is a reason, you know, he's in Orlando. He's the greatest, or not the greatest, but he's the best player for the Orlando Magic at the time. But he gets out to Denver, and he's the fourth, or really the fifth best option on the team. I mean, Caldwell Pope's out there as well. What are your expectations for Miami going into the NBA Finals?
They're not very high, if I'm being honest with you. I think that's less of a slight on Miami and more of a compliment to Denver, just what they've been able to do. You look the way that and honestly, I feel like Miami played the tougher team. I know that might sound crazy going up against the Lakers, you know, and with the Nuggets going up against the Lakers and LeBron James, who's arguably, I don't think so, but he's arguably the greatest player of all time. To many people, he is the greatest player of all time. But I feel like the Heat had a tougher way to get in, man, which is going to give them a little bit of momentum. But the Nuggets are well rested, so I mean it's kind of a toss up in that regard who has that advantage. But I think the Nuggets are gonna walk through the Heat.
That's pretty much the consensus that we're getting now. Obviously, I want to see Jimmy Butler get a ring. There's somebody that has battled through a lot in his career, a lot through his life. You know, it's him. And when you look at what he's done in the postseason, he scored 56 in the first round against the Milwaukee Bucks. That's incredible. Fourth most all time. The most I had seen in my lifetime, because I don't really count. I think Jamal Murray had 57 in the bubble. I don't count bubble ball. I don't count the Lakers bubble ring, just because I don't feel like you had the same elements there as you do playing for a regular NBA championship with the home court advantage that you get. Now, everyone wants to say, oh, well, that might be the most pure form of basketball. Okay, that may be true, but is it the most pure form of the NBA and what you have to normally do to win those titles? I don't think so.
Not even close. Not even close, dude.
I don't either. Max, what do you think?
You know, I am with you, honestly, on the whole bubble thing. I've never counted that. Also, the Dodgers championship when that whole MLB bubble.
Man.
Neither of those. LA's down two championships in my book.
I mean, the one that really bothers me is the Rams getting that one over Cincinnati. And I really just feel like the NFL did not want Cincinnati to win a championship in regards. Just because when you look at everything that went on throughout that game, there were no penalties, it seemed like, thrown, maybe one or two leading up to that point, to where there's about 2 or 3 minutes left. And all of a sudden, it's penalty after penalty after penalty after penalty until it gets to the point where all these guys are just sitting there. It's like, what are we doing right here? This is not football. This is not the way that we play the game. And all of a sudden, Los Angeles is in position to win, and they do. After, I think, there was 10 penalties called in the last 2 minutes of that game. It's what we call a Mickey Mouse ring.
I'm with you, man, on that one. I think that was the most egregious of the three championships that took place during COVID, man. Three major championships. I mean, that – I don't know if they view Joe Burrow as the bad boy of the NFL or whatever now, but I don't really see him that way at all, you know. But it definitely seemed a little wonky, especially at the end, like you said. It was just a let-them-play top game. Then at the end, it was, hey, we kind of have an agenda. It seemed – now, I'm not a Bengals fan by any means.
Right.
But, I mean, it looked – I agree with you wholeheartedly, man. It looked a little egregious towards the end.
I mean, we saw that, and, you know, it just seemed that way in a couple of games this year as well, you know, with Cincinnati. And I think – who was it? Who were they playing? I cannot remember. Save my life. Oh, well. Oh, well.
I don't know what it is about the Bengals, man. It's just it does seem like there's some sort of, I don't know, cloud around them or something by the NFL. It doesn't make sense to me. I've never seen anything out of Cincinnati that was just like, oh, yeah, I don't like them inherently for no reason. You know, never, ever.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It seemed like the NFL just really does not want Joe Burrow to get one.
It really seems, and I think it's because he's a little cocky, but I don't even feel like he's as cocky as guys like, shoot, I mean, hey, Patrick Mahomes, he seems a little cocky time to time. I mean, Lamar Jackson, come on, man. But Joe Burrow just seems like a normal guy to me. He seems like somebody you could, you know, go to the lake with and just have a good, you know, have a good time, just chill out, drink a couple beers, whatever. I mean, he seems like a down-to-earth guy. I don't know what the NFL has against him, but it's clearly something.
It's crazy. It really is. Crazy, but I don't know. Is the NFL scripted? I mean, Arian Foster seems to think so.
I love Arian Foster, dude. I love it. As far as scripted goes, I won't go as far as to say scripted, but the more to the forefront like betting becomes, like sports betting, I feel like it's harder to deny that, you know, we have human referees. We have all this human error taking place just at the right place, right time. There's some things you could say that, hey, this looks out of line, but it might not be. And things behind the scenes that look completely straight and narrow that are way being twisted up in regards to pushing an agenda for money. I mean, for betting. I won't necessarily say it's scripted, but, you know, I also say that they might be more prone to throw the flag in certain situations than others.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And, you know, it's another thing, too, that strikes me with betting, to where we almost never get the names of the officials any more than 12 hours in advance. And I think there's a reason for that.
Yep, I agree.
It's like if you ever see Mark Curls as one of the officials for an SEC football game, you take the underdog to cover. You always do that. Just because it's Mark Curls officiating the football game, and you never know what's going to happen when he is your head official. Now, I think that after all the blunders that he had about, I guess it had been a year and a half ago, so not this past season, but the season before, after all the blunders that he had then, not to mention everything that happened with Arkansas and Florida back in 08, and Tennessee and LSU in 2010, and every blunder that he's had ever since, I don't think he's the head official on any crew in the SEC anymore. At least I've not seen it.
So do you think they make him go through training again? Every time they change the rule or every time they have a major mess up like that, do you think they just let them continue on the way they have been?
I don't know, which it's so weird. But, and we see it in the Daily World, too, as to where it's like, okay, why are you protecting this guy? It's like, this guy is messing up so many times. It's making everybody's life harder. Why are you protecting him? So
exactly.
I think they just don't care.
Because no,
we're
really
never going to get a
man.
Press conference for these officials.
And, you know, you highlight a lot of these officials. I mean, it even spills over into basketball. I don't know a Tennessee fan, one, that when they see the name Pat Adams, they're jumping for joy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, at the end, dude, we've had this discussion probably 9 trillion times, but the day they bring robots, lasers, and all that good stuff over to officiate, I think it's going to change the game for the better, for good.
That's a scary thought. That's a scary thought. Speaking of robots and lasers and strike zones and all that, Ben Joyce making his MLB debut. Oh, my goodness. Could he have done any better?
man, the volunteer firemen looking sharp as a tack. I don't think anybody's surprised by his success. I think some of us are surprised by how quick it's come, but I don't think anybody's surprised with success. I mean, the guy, probably the best, fastest pitcher on the planet. I mean, just absolute dog on the mound. So I'm excited to see him, man. I'm excited to see his entire career unfold. I think we're going to be hearing his name for years and years.
And looks like I just got something in here on the Fan Run News desk. Looks like Tennessee has now become the favorite landing spot for five-star wide receiver Mike Matthews.
That's a big one right there.
Man, this guy has the build. Oh, let's get him. We need him. In the words of Martin, we need him, Reschel.
So what about Rayola at Georgia? They're pretty close, right?
I think so. I think that's how it works.
Wow. I never would have imagined that Tennessee would become a favorite landing spot. I thought Georgia was clearing away the favorite for Matthews.
So this would just add to the already spectacular wide receiving core that we have at Tennessee, which is also having some tight ends that are being added into that. I know my guy Jake Hubbard and I were talking about this extensively last week, and we started talking about the wide receivers and the tight ends, and it's like, you know, we've not really had that one tight end. Yeah, we had Princeton Fant, but we've not really seen a Michael Rivera or a Jason Witten ever since those two left campus.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, man. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised to see Tennessee in some 12 personnel this year. Maybe, you know, 15 yards inside, add a couple of wrinkles to that offense, and you never know what might happen. I mean, I expect them to have a pretty good running game. They got a trio of running backs that can all, you know, pretty much there's no drop-off between the three, between Small, Wright, and Sampson. So, if anything, you know, you could argue that Sampson and Wright might be even a little bit better than Small, just depending on what type of running back you like. And, I mean, you talk about the tight ends, you get some 12 personnel in there, get some nice two tight end sets running, whether they block or release for some passes. I mean, the possibilities are limitless when you bring in the type of talent that Heupel's bringing in right now.
Well, and you look back at that 0-1 team where you had Jason Witten. He was going to be the guy that caught the ball deep. He's going to take the top off the defense. He won us a few games, made some great plays, and that's why he's going to be an NFL legend. But then you also had the one guy that nobody ever talks about, John Finlayson. Number 96.
Yep. I haven't heard that name in years on years, Miller.
And people forget him, even though he's the one that recovered the onside kick in 2001 when we went down to Gainesville on a game that got rescheduled because of 9/11. And the winner of that game was going to Atlanta and most likely going to the national title game. Of course, we know what happened. But John Finlayson was the one that recovered that onside kick. And he would sneak in there because everyone was so focused on Jason Witten, everybody forgot about him.
And I think that a lot of Tennessee athletes on the offensive side of the ball are going to have that this year as well. They're going to have that benefit of, well, what about, yeah, I mean, you talk about guys like Deontay Thornton, they come in from Oregon. Well, people are saying, well, he didn't see the field at Oregon. He's in the wrong system. Look at what Josh Heupel's made out of these wide receivers. Tennessee's wide receiver U, that's a fact. I mean, there's no disputing that. They put more wide receiver talent in the first round than anybody else. If I'm not mistaken, more wide receivers, period, into the NFL. I don't expect that to change now. Josh Heupel's an offensive mastermind. He schemes these wide receivers open. And, you know, that's something else that I've been tired, sick, and absolutely tired of hearing with when they were talking about Hendon Hooker. Oh, he threw to wide-open receivers all the time. What do you want him to do? Do you want him to run out there and have them covered up and then throw to them? I'm so confused. You want him to throw to people in double coverage? I don't understand. And I think we're going to hear a lot of that this upcoming season, too, after Joe Milton has a good year. They're going to be saying, well, he was throwing to wide-open receivers. We didn't get to see if he made any improvements.
Okay, he did his job.
Exactly right. How many times in the past have we seen coaches with fantastic quarterback talent squander that? Plenty of times, right? So,
Just about every quarterback since Jonathan Crompton?
Exactly, right. So I think that guys like Joe Milton, Deontay Thornton, Ramel Keaton, Squirrel White, Brew McCoy, all these guys all over, Jabari Small, every skill position player on the offense is going to benefit from having a high-quality player adjacent to them on the field.
Well, and all that's going to happen is Joe Milton just has to throw the ball downfield. Squirrel White's going to run up under it and fall when he catches it. There's not going to be many yards after catch when Joe Milton launches one deep. But guess what?
Yep.
You're going to get about 60 yards every time he does that.
every single time. And I know we've all seen the footage by now of him just absolutely flicking that ball 80 yards the other day. I mean, that looked effortless.
We also seen the scary video of him throwing a ball down a hallway, which was terrifying to me.
I was waiting for an attempted murder charge from that one, man. That thing was a bazooka flying through that office building.
Hence the name Bazooka Joe. Anybody else that you think that could just all of a sudden just burst out of nowhere on the offensive side of the ball?
Ramel Keaton. I really think this will be a year for him. You know, like I was just talking about, having the benefit of having guys like Brew McCoy on one side, Deontay Thornton over here, Squirrel White over here. I think Ramel Keaton's poised. We saw a lot of things last year. You know, I think back to that Florida game, that over-the-shoulder diving catch he had, man. That play right there is indicative of his athleticism. The only thing that's going to hurt him is his speed, but he is the best route runner Tennessee has. Very crisp, very sharp in his routes. I think he's going to benefit this year from having a quarterback that can deliver the ball with zip on time as he's hitting a break in his route. And I think the only thing I worry about is his speed. Once he does get the ball, you know, his ball carrying speed. So that's the only thing. But I think his numbers are going to increase dramatically this season. And I think he's going to put himself in position to get drafted.
I think so as well. And then the one guy that we have not mentioned yet, absolute vice grips for hands, Brew McCoy.
Yep.
And it means something to wear that number at Tennessee. When you wear number 15, you're thinking of Jawan Jennings.
Yep.
You're thinking of Kelly Washington, Carl Pickens. You're thinking of guys like that. That's elite company.
And he's made it look good so far. You know, when you talk about 15 and you think about those dogs that have wore that jersey, man, I think back to one play last year with Brew McCoy where I was like, man, that's Jawan Jennings out there. And that's that Alabama game where he tossed that ball to set him up for a field goal position. There were two defenders on him. He got his body behind that ball, secured it up, and he was not turning it loose. That looked just like Jawan Jennings.
That it did, that it did. Stay with us. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two of overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.